Notes from the Upper West Side, a novel by Dan Wrench.
Chapter 130, Chumbucket Jeff and the Neighborhood Education. I know you femmes are whinging, especially you chicks who got all teary when I stormed out of the Film Center Cafe and made Cammy cry. You social network warriors reading this tale of revenge and justice in a book club 20 years from now or for your doctoral thesis in American literature are thinking,
what sort of evil bastard would run away to Florida and abandon his family? What about those two adorable donut guzzlers you call sons? Have you no love for them? No compassion?
To be honest, knowing there are church-brained chicks who would ask these questions seriously and might one day read this tale makes me want to delete the manuscript from the hard drive. But no, I wouldn't desert the little bastards, even though I'm pretty certain at least one of them will survive puberty by plotting my assassination. On the other hand, the billion or so men who will eventually read this book know instinctively that both my boys would be better off without me. Am I right? What are the little money sumps learning from their old man anyway?
Daddy, are those hot bitches laughing at the metal finger you put in your nose?
This is the paternal future I have to look forward to if I stick around. But enough tyke talk. When I got to the Mermaid, I ordered up some St. Pauli girl from Barkeep Jeff. Jeff was the chum bucket stoner the Mermaid would one day replace with Mike, the guy who got really frustrated and screamed at the ceiling. You remember? The guy who ended up getting the job at the ad agency? While Chumbucket Jeff, Mike's predecessor, was a genuine failure, the embarrassing kind, the kind who ends up hopping freight trains when he's 40 and tells you what a genius he is just so you won't suspect that, yeah, he's a wharf-dwelling Chumbucket, who incidentally cuts his own hair.
Hey, did I tell you about my video game Snorkin' Sharks?
He asked that night.
Yeah, going great. I got this friend who writes code. And he's pounding it out. Yeah, Python. It's scientific and shit. I designed all the rooms you go into when you're snorkeling. Did it in PhotoSpook.
Can I buy it somewhere?
Nah, it'll be ready soon.
He'll be saying that for the next 7 years. I was aware of talking with a chum bucket, but the Paximander made him seem relatable and charismatic, like a smiley uncle. He's not so bad, I thought. I looked at myself in the mirror behind the bar. I was a non-chum bucket. I didn't bluster about my non-projects built with a non-skill I non-possess. Failure-shmailure, I thought. You might assume I would try to follow up on that feeling the next morning, that I would jump up and pop another Pax before letting myself think about the previous day and its epic humiliations that only ended when I knocked back some drugs and guzzled a large dose of alcohol in an Upper West Side bar where no decent piece of ass lets itself be seen on a weeknight. Well, I didn't remember the drugs when I popped awake, oh my pals. I woke up in a cheerful mood, having forgotten all about the perfect storm of the previous night. It was bliss until I felt my bare feet touch the frieze carpeting next to my bed. Then it all came back to me in its clammy, metallic infamy. Oh yeah, I suck. And I had confessed the logistics of my suckiness to Barkeep Jeff. The original dog you're not supposed to lie down with because when you do, you see dog dick. Well, fuck those assholes at Whispers, I thought. I will avoid all of them for the rest of my life. I felt around my brain to see if that helped. It didn't. So the inevitable is what I did. I stumbled into the bathroom and downloaded from the medicine cabinet 2 tablets of Pax. And not long after that, my brain concocted a fresh, bright angle on the events of the preceding night. But between the pill popping and the angle concocting, the boys staggered into the hallway. They were in a bad mood because their mom woke them up by flicking on the overhead light in their bedroom and barking,
"Uppity up up up!"
Which is a little harsh when you're groggy.
"Daddy, are you going back to bed?"
Harry asked. "After Sammy and I walk you to school, I'll probably come home and take a nap."
"I want to take a nap."
Junior laughed.
"We all want a nap."
"Enough with this whimpering," I roared. I charged out of the kitchen and caught them in the hall in their pajamas. "We're playing Show Me the Tummy." Sam screamed this ridiculous laugh that could have been a cartoon voiceover and ran out to the sofa, the usual venue for Show Me the Tummy. But I had latched onto Harry. "Show me the tummy!"
"I don't want to."
"Show me the tummy." I plopped him down on the hall floor and pulled up his shirt and tickled his tummy, and he giggled hard, gasping,
"Stop it! Stop! I don't want to!" "Okay, okay,"
Junior said behind me.
"Enough with Show Me the Tummy."
I stopped tickling and flipped Harry's pajama shirt back down. He hopped up and said,
"I'm all out of breath now. I don't want to get out of breath. I could get asthma."
"You can't get asthma from being tickled or getting out of breath," I said.
"His friend Toon has asthma,"
Junior said.
"Well,"
I said to Harry with the grown-up voice, "Toon did not get asthma from running out of breath. He runs out of breath because he has asthma."
"That's right,"
Junior said and patted me on the shoulder. Chicks love an apt turn of phrase.
"Understand, Harry?"
I asked.
"I guess."
He skulked back into his room. "Does he really have a friend named Toon?" I asked Junior. "His parents actually named him Toon?"
"I want to play,"
Sam said from the sofa. "Sometimes you forget the other kid." "Rawr!" I roared. I grabbed him by the back of his shirt and flipped him over on the couch. He screamed his laughy squeals as I tickled the leftover sleep out of him. "Rawr!" I said again. "That's it," I said. I pulled away like a magician letting the doves fly free. "Go get dressed, you bat-faced rastard." Sammy jumped up without a word, but with a big grin on his face and a laser-like gleam in his eye, and ran into his room to join Harry.
"Retard."
It was Harry's voice, only a little muffled. Junior did not like this at all.
"Harry, what did I tell you about using that word?"
And she disappeared into the boys' room to be the official mom. I flopped down on the sofa and looked over at the computer monitor. It was on the weather. I wanted to go over and maybe browse HuffPo to see who was destroying our democracy today, but I was too lazy. Used to be I'd flip open the Times. I still got delivery of the Times, the actual paper, but nobody bothered to bring it in anymore. On her way out to work, Junior would pick it up off our doormat and throw it down in front of someone else's door. She sometimes wondered aloud what the neighbors thought about sporadically receiving a newspaper they didn't subscribe to or pay for. Me? I like to think we're donating to the neighborhood education.
Notes from the Upper West Side is a work of fiction. The people depicted in this work do not exist.
Notes from the Upper West Side. Copyright 2024 by Dan Wrench.